This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
At the bottom of the hour, our tour of NFL cities continues. We'll preview, well, not the Rams, but Inglewood, California, with an I. It'll do that coming up at the bottom of the hour. We do this every day. As we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season, we should be able to take care of every NFL city between now and the opener on that Thursday night with the Rams and the Bills. There is no team in the ACC, I would say no team in college football, with a bigger chip on their shoulder than the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Connor O'Neill, Deacons Illustrated, also Devils Illustrated. We'll probably touch on Duke here as well for a sec. But can you actually see the chip on the shoulders of the Demon Deacons and head coach Dave Clawson?
Well, we wouldn't be talking Wake Forest if we weren't talking overlooked and underrated, right?
Like, right.
I don't know what the world would look like if even like the two early top 25s that came out at the end of last year had Wake in the, some of them had Wake in the top 10. And it was like, well, that doesn't feel right. Hopefully that changes, because, you know, how do you handle yourself if all of a sudden they're looked at as the big dogs?
I mean, they were preseason number 19, which, I mean, look, regardless of how good they were, and they were very good last year, nobody is arguing whether or not Wake Forest was a good football team last year. They were. But preseason 19 seems like a pretty good spot for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty decent. I think that people are hesitant to go higher than that, just because last year was all about, in some games, not every game, but last year became about outscoring the opponent. And so you get in those coin flip games that are 48-45. I think the Carolina game was 58-55. You don't know which way those games are going to go from year to year. They're coin flip games for better or worse. So I think it's apt, appropriate to look at them in that 19 range. If you wanted to put them higher, I don't know that I'd argue against that either. They've got some reason for optimism on the defensive side of the ball, and really they're not asking to have a top 10 defense. They're just asking for consistency over there.
Here's what's interesting to me. So they win, you bring up the Carolina game, which was, I mean, I don't even know how you talk about that game. It was just stupid. But if you win that game 58-55 or 158-155, what's the difference at that point? If you win it 38-35, it's talked about entirely differently. Or if you win it 17-14, it's talked about entirely differently. Can I ask you why?
Yeah, I think people don't like seeing those basketball scores on football fields, even though like two out of every three rule changes in the last 10 years favors the offense. We're making the game of football more offensive because people like seeing points scored. Nobody wants to see that 9-6 LSU Alabama game,
right,
from what was that, like 11 years ago. So, you know, it's weird, right? It becomes this tug of war where during football seasons, we all want to see points scored, but not too many points. And then in the off seasons, we all want to talk about, well, you know, NC State has all these pieces on defense returning, so they're going to be better than Wake. And Clemson has all these pieces on defense returning. They're just automatically going to be better than Wake because they're more balanced. So it's fun to kind of track. It's fun to look at, you know, we have to talk about something in June and July. So let's talk about how good we think defenses are going to be. And then we're going to get into the season. We're going to say, well, this team doesn't really play good defense, but they can score a heck of a lot of points. So they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, the wins still count. I'm fairly certain that it still counts as a check in the W column if you score 58 or if you score 8, and as long as you have more than the other team. Frankly, I would rather watch. I mean, I realize you can make fun of defense, but I can make fun of bad offense too. Dennis and I had a conversation earlier about the Big Ten, and he said he was excited to watch. And I'm not knocking this. He's excited to watch Michigan State and Wisconsin at 3:30. On a 3:30 Saturday afternoon. And I'm like, well, that makes one of us because I can't watch those teams play. They bore the hell out of me. Like, I'd rather watch 58-55 than, 16-9.
I'd be excited for that game too because it means I can get an afternoon nap
there
between the noon games and the 7 o'clock games.
Offense is fun. I mean, we got to figure out ways to make college football more fun other than the marching bands. The other element of, and we're talking with Connor O'Neill of Deacons Illustrated, the other element that I find fascinating about the way we go into this Wake Forest season, because I saw this playing itself out throughout members of the media. Devin Leary was named preseason ACC Player of the Year. I actually voted for Tyler Van Dyke of Miami. And I considered.
Oh, you bought into the hype.
I did. And I considered Brian Brisi from Clemson as well. But Hartman was one of the three all-ACC quarterbacks a year ago and was essentially forgotten in Charlotte. I mean, utterly forgotten in Charlotte. How is Sam dealing with that? Does he care?
Oh, man. I don't think he's completely dismissive of it. He sees it. Like, even if he doesn't see it, he has a support system that is going to at least, bring it to his attention, but it's not going to stay in his attention. It's not going to be something he, prints out headlines and sticks them on his locker. He's just never struck me as that kind of guy. Maybe back when he was a freshman, I think he would be the first to admit he was a little immature and he would have been swept up in some of that stuff. But at this point, as a fifth-year guy, that does not matter. And I think part of the reason it doesn't matter is because of the team success that they tasted last year. Like, you get one season like that, and it can have kind of a ripple effect throughout your roster where – hey, this is a lot more about a lot more than getting a receiver to 1,000 yards or getting a running back to 10 touchdowns. We just want to win games, and I think that's where Sam's mindset would be in regard to the Heisman hype and the All ACC preseason Player of the Year that type of stuff.
Does Dave Clawson have a chip on his shoulder about the disrespect for Sam Hartman?
Dave is going to stick up for his guy.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, you don't have a quarterback for 5 years. You don't go through the things that they've been through with Sam being a freshman starter, suffering a season-ending injury, losing the job, winning the job back, and then going through a pandemic. You don't stay in a foxhole with a guy for that long and not have his back every chance you can get. Now, Dave's not going to come out and say that all 130 or 140-some people that voted for somebody else to be ACC preseason player of the year is an idiot and has never watched football. Like, that's not going to be him. But he is going to take note. He is going to stick up for his guy if given the chance. What coach wouldn't, really?
Right. Well, he should. I have no problem with it. I actually think that it speaks to confidence, just like Sam Hartman showing up to Media Day with that Payne Stewart hat.
It was not a fedora, let me tell you. I made a mistake and called it a fedora.
Did you
Twitter
really?
And,
oh, come on.
You know how things go on Twitter? I mean, you see something in passing and you want to make it reality, so you put it out there and then you get told from 20 corners of the internet how much you don't know fancy hat, which,
I mean, it's like a fedora is very different. So that just shows that you're a young man, Connor, because our hats are baseball caps or like ski hats, what I call a toque. I actually think that those are friends to the north have it right. It's a toque, not a toboggan. A toboggan is a sled. But we don't wear hats. We wear caps. But I think that he's got like a Payne Stewart hat on.
Yeah, I asked him about it at the podium. You know, it was something that I was gonna just, let's get this out of the way. What is this hat and what's the reason for it? And Sam is a big Peaky Blinders fan.
Okay.
Which I have not had my eyes open to, but I know it's made my list of shows that I need to watch. You know, I'll start carving into that sometime in April probably. But it's kind of a BBC/Netflix show with Cillian Murphy and Tom Hardy, I think. So
good for him.
And it's big in that hat. The hat is big in the show.
Good for him. If he was like a Harry Potter fan, he could have worn a Sorting Hat, and then that would have been a complete disaster at Media Day. Very quick, Connor O'Neill also covers the Duke Blue Devils. Where is the optimism? And by the way, did you hear the offensive lineman sing opera?
Oh, not only that, Steve Wiseman and I had a chance after practice this morning to talk to Chance.
Really?
We got a whole breakdown. He comes from a musical family. It was kind of mind-boggling that he hasn't been singing for his whole life. It was just kind of something he picked up after his football career took off, and he had been a violinist and cellist, and then he's playing offensive line at high levels of football and realizing that his hands were getting torn up. So
right.
That makes it hard to play the violin and cello, as I understand, and not that I've ever played any of those. But,
it's always gotten in your way. Yeah, me too.
That's the reason. he took up singing, and I mean, we were talking to him. He wants to go to the NFL, but he also has dreams of becoming like a lead bassist of an opera.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff. I mean, as far as the optimism at Duke, the optimism lies in it's a fresh start. And it probably sounds pretty similar to when David Cutcliffe arrived like 14 years ago, and it was a fresh start. They really speak highly of the, you know, this is going to be boring radio, but
right.
They really speak highly of the summer weightlifting and conditioning that they did.
Sure.
And so I think that's probably the biggest area of growth. Now, whether that growth means better on-field results, man, that might take another year or two. They might need some more building blocks to be placed. But yeah, it's just a fresh start. It's a new staff. Everybody on the roster is starting from the same point, basically.
Right.
So yeah, it's a work in progress, but there is progress being made.
Well, I appreciate your time, Connor O'Neill. It's cool that that Duke has first team all first cellist, not even first team, first chair. He'll be first chair cellist if he ever gets back to playing the cello. Connor O'Neill, Deacons Illustrated, Devils Illustrated, our friend. I appreciate your time, man. We'll talk very soon.
Thanks, Adam. Always a pleasure.
You got it. Connor O'Neill here on the Adam Gold Show. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they don't are familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. Now, you're out for the next 5 days, right?
Five business days, right?
None of us are here on Saturday and Sunday.
Sometimes.
That's true.
I don't know. I'll be back on Saturdays.
Victoria's here.
Victoria's here a lot.
And you, sir, Culture State's on the air Saturday mornings, right?
It's coming back September 3rd.
Oh, it's been on hiatus?
Yeah. It's summertime.
That's true. It is.
Yeah, summertime.
Not going to fight that.
We are looking to do our return show at Dowdy Ficklin.
Really?
ECU, NC State.
That should be that week, we've got ECU hosting NC State and App hosting UNC.
Yeah. It's going to be so fun.
I'm
very much looking forward to that day.
All seriousness, that is a great day for the state of North Carolina and college football. A great day. Personally, I believe State's going to go out to ECU and win. And I don't know if it'll be start to finish comfortably, but I think the Wolfpack win that game going away. App can beat UNC.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if UNC is favored, and I think I haven't seen an early line for that at all. I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Oh, I will find it.
Sure you can find it somewhere. But if UNC is favored, my guess is it's in the 2.5-point range. That is an absolute toss-up game. Cannot wait for that. Both games will be fun. The ECU NC State thing is definitely a rivalry game, even if it's more one side toward the other than anything else.
UNC is a 2.5-point favorite. NC State, 10-point favorite.
This would be a good game for us to play. Guess the line.
We're not betting. We're gonna bet the betting line.
We can bet the betting, absolutely. Over under UNC favored by 2.5. So it would be an interesting game to play, though. But I think both games are great, and it's just good, really good for the state to have two games like that.
Yeah.
In week one, I don't buy the whole week zero thing, but in week one, but it will be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, if you want to do a live Culture State at Dowdy Ficklin, I don't know how I can help that, but I'll help that.
That's what we're planning on doing.
All right then. You don't need my help. You've already planned.
Trying to get the gears and, you know.
So what happens tomorrow? You're not here. Is Victoria going to handle this? Where are we going tomorrow?
Cincinnati.
Oh, so is she going to put chili on spaghetti tomorrow?
Actually, I'm going to jump on to keep doing this.
You can't even take a damn day off?
This is coming from you, Adam.
I wasn't here Thursday.
That's true. You didn't do like a Canes preview.
No, I didn't go out to the golf tournament on Thursday.
Say exactly.
I wasn't here on Friday. I didn't do anything on Friday.
Oh, that's good.
I took a couple of days off.
Well, I told you I'm looking forward to Friday. I'm going to jump on Halftime Entertainment Friday and let you know exactly how fun the Spider-Man game is.
Okay, that's fine. Fine.
I might live stream it for Halftime Entertainment.
You'll make it easier on Victoria. Maybe. I don't know. All right, so now we're going to Inglewood, California, right?
That's right.
Let's get ready.
That's right. Home of the Rams. That's where we're going. We're going to the L.A. Rams today.
They used to be Hollywood's team.
Yes.
I don't know if they're still Hollywood's team. Back when they played at the Coliseum, the Rams, I mean, there were like big-time movie stars that hung out on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's as big a deal.
They do it at USC games.
Well, there's no question that USC became Hollywood's – it became the pro team. They really did. They became the pro team.
Yeah.
All of the people who wanted an NFL team in Los Angeles, You know what they all had in common?
What's that?
None of them lived in Los Angeles. I'm not trying to knock it. They were perfectly happy with no NFL team.
True.
They were fine. They didn't need it. The NFL needed it, which is why we have this stadium and two teams in LA.
Whatever makes it work, right?
Sure.
All right, so when we get to Inglewood, California, you got to do the obvious things, all right? Got to listen to some West Coast hip-hop. We've been playing Dr. Dre,
yeah.
2001, just the instrumentals from that album. We've been doing that today.
It's like the halftime of the Super Bowl, which is one of the great halftime shows ever.
It's fantastic.
So good.
Though Eminem was from Detroit, which we did yesterday.
That's right.
But yeah, listen to West Coast hip-hop. By the way, NWA Straight Outta Compton actually released 34 years ago yesterday.
Really?
It did.
Why didn't we? Oh, we bumped with Motown yesterday.
Yeah, we did. We bumped with Motown.
Okay.
So anyway, listen to some West Coast hip hop. You got to sit in traffic for hours. Okay.
True. And you That's also, very true.
And you also need to stare into and breathe in some smog.
Yeah, we could do that here too.
Potentially, but down there,
it's
a thing. But one of the first things you need to go do, especially if you're a sports fan, just go to the Forum. The Forum was located in Inglewood, California. That, for people who don't know what the Forum
it's
is.
It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. It's known as the Kia Forum now. But the Forum was where Magic, Showtime, Lakers, that's where they played.
Lakers played there. Kings played there. Yeah, the Forum was before Staples Center.
You mean Crypto.com Arena?
Oh, I'm sorry. I get that wrong.
It's, I know.
Staples is the corporate name, right? Yes.
Yeah. Crypto.com. It's still, to me, it's a Staples Center. But you need to go check out the Forum. They still do events and
yeah,
such
they
there.
Do.
So the Forum would be a cool place to go check out for
the
sure.
Lighting. The lighting at Lakers games in the 70s and 80s until the cryptocurrency building. Until the new building, the lighting just seemed different than it seemed everywhere else in the NBA. Just seemed different. It seemed like it was like theater more than any other place.
So head to the Forum. Also, make sure you check out a show, a concert, an event at YouTube Theater.
Where's that?
It's literally right across the street from SoFi.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's called YouTube Theater.
Okay.
I.
That's interesting, YouTube Theater.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there isn't an event going on. Is it just like a streaming of a channel?
Total.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Can we watch Rhett and Link, Good Mythical Morning?
There's always something on at YouTube Theater.
Yes.
Always something.
Always
on.
Something.
And you decide.
Yeah, exactly. What rabbit hole are we going to choose to watch as we go down through here as well? Also, you can head just north of SoFi Stadium. Again, staying in Inglewood. Again, we're not branching out into other parts of Southern California.
Right, we can't go to, like, Manhattan Beach.
No, we can't go to, Long Beach.
Anything like that.
Nope. Can't go to Hollywood. Not going to Burbank. None of that
can't
stuff.
I can't go to Beverly Hills?
No.
Hollywood Square is a game show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Walk of Fame, whatever it is.
I don't know what it's called.
I do remember Hollywood Squares. You can actually head up into, there's a mausoleum. There's a Garden of Roses and a Garden
You're
of Seasons mausoleum.
You're sending people to a freaking mausoleum.
Well, you can see Sugar Ray Robinson's grave.
Oh, okay, that's good.
So that's the reason why I was going to say it. Say, hey, go check out some cemeteries.
Go, you got to go. You got to go to the mausoleum when you're in Inglewood. Whatever you do, go see a small room devoted to dead people.
Yeah, well, there's Sugar Ray Robinson's
it's a good idea.
Grave. Is there. If you're a boxing fan.
I mean, no offense.
Throw that out there for the people.
Look, as somebody who has zero interest in being buried with a rock with my name on it.
Yeah.
I had no interest at all. I want to be, just blow me up. I don't care. Right? I don't want anybody to have to maintain a plot. Nothing. I don't even want to be in an urn on a mantelpiece. Just fire me off into space. I don't care. I'm not here anymore.
Are we going to put your ashes in a coffee can let the dude just
fire whatever's left of the body into space.
Okay.
I don't care. It just seems odd to, like, shove a box in the ground and then people go and look at it. This is where he is. This is where he is, right there. Look at it. There's grass. I just don't understand it. It's one of those things that's always escaped me. Sorry.
Okay, that's totally fine.
It's always escaped me.
That's to each.
I know
there
are little rituals, you know, for people who grew up in my culture. You go there, you put a little stone on the grave, you honor that. It's very nice. It's like, but as a kid, I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to have to go. No, don't make me do that. So I don't want to make them do that. So just fire me into space.
Okay. Another spot to go to, a couple food locations for you.
Okay.
One, Emma's Snack Shop. Emma's Snack Shop. They got different subs, sandwiches, breakfast, the whole deal. The menu is literally just pictures of the sandwich. Like, that's the one I want.
Oh, really? Just
yeah.
They don't have a description?
No.
What if, what if I can't tell what that picture is? Is that roast beef or is that ham?
I'm sure you can ask.
Oh, so you have to, okay.
Yeah, you can ask. But they have different bagels, croissants, the whole deal. It looks delicious. By the way, great reviews on it. So it has to be good.
Yeah.
We have a 4.8. Got to be good. But they look fantastic, these sandwiches.
Sure.
Also, you need to head out to Doulon Soul Food Kitchen. It's also a great place to eat as well. And they're actually on the same block, right down the road from each other.
Do we have donuts?
Yeah, we have donuts. We have Randy's Donuts. Actually, very famous Randy's Donuts.
Are they famous?
Randy's Donuts has actually appeared in films, including Iron Man 2. Iron Man is actually sitting inside the big donut of Randy's Donut eating donuts. And Nick Fury, played by Samuel Jackson, to him goes, "Sir, may you please exit the donut." If you actually look up places to go in Englewood, California, Randy's Donuts does pop up.
I'm sure. No, I am not. I am not in any way challenging Randy's Donuts. I should
have
known.
They
have somehow
great
coming back
too,
to Iron Man.
By the way, hey. I like Englewood's a big place.
I understand. Look, Englewood's is it's a small part of Los Angeles.
Yeah. It's a very, very small part.
But with a giant football stadium.
Yeah.
SoFi
right
looks awesome. SoFi looks space age. And it's right near Randy's Donut Shop where
Randy's Donuts
Iron Man
has been
hangs
around,
out.
Randy's Donuts has been around since 1952.
It's a long time for a donut shop.
Exactly.
70 years of Randy's Donuts.
Yeah. That's the third oldest donut shop on our list.
Is there? So far, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. The East Coast donut shops are always going to be older.
Well, of course.
Yeah, always going to be older. That's fantastic.
All right, we're going to go ahead and draw real quick the cities for Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
So tomorrow's Cincinnati.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk all things chili.
Gosh.
Both Gold Star and all that stuff. Thursday, we have the Bears. So we're going to Chicago.
And the Bears.
Yes, exactly. All things Chicago. And then the Chiefs.
Oh, Kansas City.
Yes.
We got history and culture in Kansas City. I'm excited for
barbecue
Kansas City.
And the whole deal.
I'm excited for that. All right, that's good.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
All right, do we have time to slide into a little rewind? Oh, that's good.
By the way, I appreciate you just hitting your head on the microphone when I mentioned Iron Man.
I mean, we're talking donuts and somehow we get to Iron Man. I mean, I don't know.
I'm going to have to post that video.
Get to Iron Man. Did Iron Man eat donuts there?
He did.
Oh, good. Good for Iron Man. Good for Iron Man. All right. This is a story that fascinated me when I read it. I guess I read it yesterday, and I'm glad we at least mentioned it today. So Aaron Rodgers had mentioned that. And I didn't understand the whole reference when I read it initially, but I guess going through it again, I picked up some more things. He went to a retreat in Peru in the off season before 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
He won back-to-back MVPs, 2020 and 2021. So before the 2020 season, which was a difficult offseason, to say the least, for Aaron Rodgers. He went to this retreat, and he drank like a local tribal drink that contained a hallucinogenic. All right. The NFL came out yesterday and said that Rodgers would not have violated the drug policy either for a drug of abuse or a performance enhancer. I would challenge the latter because at least in the mind of the person consuming the hallucinogenic, I'm pretty sure he thought whatever he was doing was better than it's ever been done. So don't tell me that that's not a performance enhancer. It all depends on your point of view. Anyway, I talked to Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com if the league was just letting Aaron Rodgers go because, well, he's Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe the wording is performance altering because I don't know if it's going to enhance.
Oh, it all depends on the point of view, Ryan. It really does.
That's right. I would imagine, I don't know, you know, you might be onto something. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is such a thorn in the side of the NFL, and he's always has something to say, and he will argue with you whether the sky is blue or not. And we know how the whole vaccination thing went down when he claimed that he was not vaccinated, but whatever the words were he used at the time, and he had done his own research, as it was, including consulting Joe Rogan and all the that came out of that. So maybe the NFL's like, you know what, dude, we don't care. Just show up, play if you want to play, don't play. We're not going to fine you. If you want to test us, continue to do so. We're just going to look the other way. By the way, this is also why people get very angry about the league's stance on punishments. And, you know, look no further than Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. When he gets six games and they go back and say, wait a second, we don't like this. There's no rule of law. And there's no sort of book of rules you can look at and say, this is what's going to happen if you do X, Y, and Z. That's why people get frustrated, whether it's players, coaches, fans, media, because it just seems willy-nilly, throw a dart at a dartboard, and whatever comes up, that's what the punishment is going to be.
I could spend a long time talking about that Aaron Rodgers story. He actually went on to say that after going to this retreat, he said his life would never be the same. And that's exactly the way I felt after my first Dead Show. I fully believe that it was a life-altering experience for, I'm sure, many of the same reasons as Aaron Rodgers experienced in Peru, right? But he said, I was confident that my life would never be the same.
Oh, good for him.
Good for him, yeah. But yeah, I don't know how that would pass both drug tests. I just don't know. But it's fine.
Maybe they don't test for it. I don't know.
They do. They should now.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a rash of NFL. Like, suddenly, why does everybody want to fly to Peru?
Well, I think the drug test only takes place at the start of the training camp. And if you pass it, they don't test you until next training camp.
Suddenly, there are four daily nonstops to Lima. I don't even understand why. It's like every airline is like four. What? Why are we flying to Lima all of a sudden? Anyway, the Denver Broncos have a new owner. Okay, they changed ownership. The Boland family owned them for a long, long time. I'm not sure they were original owners or not, but they've owned the Broncos for a long, long time, and they are now owned by Samuel Robson Rob Walton, who is one of the heirs to the Walmart fortune, Sam Walton. So he has his introductory owner's press conference. It was today, I think. His introductory owner's press conference. It's a big deal. He bought the team for $4.65 billion. He's worth $59 billion, which makes him the richest owner in the NFL, beating David Tepper, who I think is worth $17 billion or something like that. So here's Rob Walton at his introductory press conference being thankful.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell, we're just so excited.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell. Excuse me?
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell, the...
What? You can't get Roger Goodell right?
No. I guess when you're that rich, you can say whatever you want,
well,
right?
Well, that's true. That's true. You are afforded more liberties if there are an extra three digits to the left of the decimal.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want. It's sort of like when you're really young, when you're an infant, you get away with everything, saying whatever you want. And when you are really old, you get away with anything you want. My grandmother could say and do anything when she was in a nursing home when she was like 94. She was stealing books from the library because what are they going to do? Throw me out?
Yeah.
She's right.
That's
they weren't going to do that. She liked the way the books looked. She wanted them in her room.
That's fair.
So she said, what are they going to do? Not give me cherry pie after dinner? You know? That would be. They never docked her cherry pie. Mm. They did come take the books back, but they didn't dock her cherry pie.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.